This episode contains graphic descriptions of crime scenes, which may be disturbing to some listeners.
Today, we're bringing you the story of a young woman from upstate New York who's last seen leaving a local bar in the early morning hours following a night out with friends. But 30 hours later, her bludgeoned body is found in a nearby town, lying in a ditch. What happened in those final footsteps?
This is APB Cold Case. Here's your host, former police chief Mark Spahn.
Our story begins on Independence Day, 1988. It's a typical summer day for 28-year-old Pam DeVizio, who lives in Saratoga Springs, New York. Pam and her family are in the restaurant business, and holidays are one of their busiest times. But that Monday, Pam asks her sister, who's also her boss, for the day off. She wants to spend the 4th of July holiday boating with friends on nearby Lake George. Her sister agrees, but as it turns out, Pam and her roommate, Andrea, decide not to go to Lake George after all. They end up spending time that night in the busy bar district of Saratoga Springs. Downtown Saratoga is a popular destination for locals and tourists alike. And being that it's a holiday, the atmosphere is especially festive. Most of the bars stay open well into the early morning hours. So after leaving a bar called Madame Jamel's on Caroline Street, the girls' last stop of the night is a bar called Gaffney's. They're not there very long when Pam's friend Andrea decides to leave. But Pam wants to stay a little longer. It's about 4:15 a.m. The bar's closing up, and Pam leaves Gaffney's alone. The street's practically empty at this hour as she steps out onto the sidewalk. She turns right toward her apartment, which is just a few short blocks away. The next day, July 5th, is a work day for Pam. Her family told us that Pam never wanted to drive a car after a friend was involved in a fatal crash, so she routinely walks wherever she wants to go within the surrounding neighborhood, and when she needs to go farther, she relies on her sister or father to give her a ride. On this day, it's Tuesday, her sister's day off, so her father goes to pick her up for a shift at Mangino's restaurant just outside of Saratoga Springs. When Pam's dad arrives at her Court Street apartment, he knocks on our door several times, but she doesn't answer. He immediately knows something is wrong. His daughter's very responsible and would not miss a shift at work without letting someone know. He calls the family, and everyone starts looking for her. Pam's dad had no luck with the phone calls, so he walked up and down Caroline Street with Pam's picture, asking everyone he came across if they'd seen her. No one had. He did the only other thing he could think of. He contacted the Saratoga Springs Police Department to report her missing. Pam's sister said it was hot and humid that day. She and her husband had gone to a pool, trying to beat the heat. Now remember, this is 1988, and not everyone had a cell phone. They had been gone all day. So by the time they got home that evening, around 6 p.m., their answering machine was blowing up. The word was out. They had messages from family members, friends, and even employees from Mangino's. Everyone was looking for Pam. The next day, when a truck driver is making his way down Putnam Road in a rural area of Saratoga County, something catches his attention. Here's Captain Kevin Herrick of the Saratoga County Sheriff's Office.
But on July 6th of 1988, right around 10 a.m., a truck driver driving on a back road in town of Northumberland saw a dog down in a ditch and running around. So he was starting to slow when the dog looked up in the direction. He could see blood in the snout, and then he was able to see the body. Back then, no cell phones, obviously. So he drove to the closest residence around the corner and then called law enforcement.
The body, which would later be identified by dental records as Pam DeVizio, is found on Putnam Road just east of Jacob Drive. She's lying in a drainage ditch about 8 feet from the actual road and about 450 yards from the nearest home.
The road is almost completely unchanged, except for the change in the trailer park, but the road itself is almost like it was back in 1988.
Investigators examined the scene.
When she was found, she was partially clothed, and when I say partially, she had some undergarments that were on. But a shirt and pants were not on.
He said they recovered her blouse, shorts, and shoes, all found near the body. But one thing that was missing was her purse. I asked detectives whether there were any other clues found at the crime scene.
I said there are some things that John is still working on, and some stuff that is significant enough to that we probably shouldn't disclose completely.
Understandably, there are certain things that police know about the crime scene that are key to their investigative strategy, something known only to them and the killer. But investigator Jonathan Grady was able to share one particular point with us.
You know, from what was gathered at the scene and opinions of everyone, it appears that she probably died on the side of the road there, and it was a violent attack, so unsurvivable injuries.
The autopsy was performed by renowned pathologist Dr. Michael Badden. The cause of death was ruled as blunt force trauma, and the manner of death, homicide. I asked if a weapon was identified in her assault.
Only by real speculation would I think of some type of implement, but nothing to point in a direction of a specific weapon at this point.
Detectives aren't releasing details about specific wounds, marks, or the type of weapon that may have been used.
Without getting into too much, there were no obvious, I would say, puncture wounds to her torso or body, but as John said, it was very violent.
They found no evidence of a sexual assault, but police aren't dismissing that the murder could have been sexually motivated.
As we described in how the body was left, partially clothed with some of her garments nearby, when I put the case into VICAP and updated in VICAP from back in the day, that is one of the categories I checked. I can't be positive. It's an assumption at this point. I should say there was no physical evidence collected back then to suggest that. The way the body was left just leads me to believe that that's a possibility.
Captain Herrick mentioned VICAP. That's the FBI's Violent Criminal Apprehension Program, a system where police share known and unknown victim and offender information to connect similar crimes based on MO, victimology, or other evidence. Detectives would not say whether there were any defensive wounds on Pam, but they did say that there appeared to be a violent struggle. Pam fought for her life.
There are marks and injuries that are on her body, so there are some things that, for lack of a better explanation, we're keeping a little close to the vest, but things that just go along with that. It was violent, and there was a struggle.
As police work the scene and begin their investigation, Pam's dad and other family members gather in Saratoga Springs. They wonder where Pam could be, and they're discussing what they can do to help find her when a detective knocks on the door. It's not good. They're told the devastating news that a body matching Pam's description has been found outside of Saratoga Springs. Detectives start digging into Pam's life. Who is she, and who would want to kill her? Pam was a local girl, growing up on Nelson Avenue with her mom, dad, and four siblings. The family lived within walking distance of downtown and the famous Saratoga racetrack. Pam, the second youngest, had two brothers and two sisters. One of her sisters described their childhood as happy. Lots of friends, sleepovers, and pool parties. In high school, she excelled at shorthand and typing, landing herself with a job with the state as soon as she graduated. Before Pam went to work with her sister at Mangino's, she worked as a bartender at Casa 13. Investigator Jonathan Grady.
Grew up in Saratoga, moved out to Florida briefly, was back in the area. She was working at a local restaurant on the lake at the time. She was very involved in the nightlife in Saratoga and knew a lot of people, and a lot of people knew her.
Pam's family described her as quiet-natured and very kind. They said she was the best sister, daughter, and friend anyone could ask for. In any homicide investigation, police would routinely interview family, friends, and anyone else who was close to the victim, including spouses or boyfriends. Pam had been in a serious relationship for about 5 years. She and her then-boyfriend had been living together in a rural apartment on Brownville Road in the town of Northumberland, about 10 miles from Saratoga Springs. But in 1987, the year before her murder, they broke up. Pam's sister said it was a very hard breakup for Pam, as she discovered that he'd been cheating on her. Pam moved into an apartment in Saratoga Springs with her girlfriend, Andrea, and the boyfriend moved to Florida. So we'll talk about that ex-boyfriend in a minute. Let's recap what we know about Pam's last movements. In the early morning hours of July 5th, Pam and her roommate Andrea are at a bar called Madame Jamel's, where they bump into Pam's sister and brother-in-law. Pam explains why they decided not to spend the day at the lake. She said that she'd gotten a call earlier in the day from an acquaintance who told her that her former boyfriend was in town, visiting from Florida, his father reportedly dying from cancer. So the two girls were out that night hoping to run into him because he allegedly owed Pam some money from when they'd previously lived together. Pam's sister also thinks that Pam was hoping for a reconciliation. So after the quick conversation at Madame Jamel's, Pam and Andrea head down the street to another bar. You can see a map of the area along with a photo of Madame Jamel's in our show notes. So Pam's sister and brother-in-law leave Madame Jamel's around 3 a.m., walking up Caroline Street. They spot Pam and Andrea through the front window of Gaffney's, and they go inside. They notice that Andrea, Pam's roommate, is leaving with a man named Jimmy as they enter. Pam's sister and her husband stay only a moment just to wish Pam a good night. At 4:15 a.m., the bar's closing, and Pam walks out the front door of Gaffney's. It's time for her to head home. But what she doesn't know, an unknown evil is lurking nearby.
The bars in Saratoga back then closed at 4 a.m. They still do to this day. She was last seen going out the front door, walking out, and then walking towards a direction where you would have thought she was heading back to her apartment. She lived not far from the bar in downtown Saratoga.
What happened to Pam when she stepped out the door of Gaffney's onto Caroline Street? She didn't own a car, and as we said, she didn't drive. As Captain Herrick said, her apartment was only a short distance away. Her sister said that Pam walked a lot. She was very safety conscious, and so normally she would not have opted to walk alone at that hour. Investigator Grady.
You know, she worked in restaurants her whole life. She was down here in the bar scene. She was a tough person, you know, persona-wise. So, you know, it was the family's belief that whoever she went with, she probably knew.
So, along with family, friends, and boyfriends, police questioned restaurant workers, bar patrons, and anyone else who had contact with Pam on July 4th or 5th. They canvassed the downtown area, reconstructing her last movements in as much detail as possible. Police also canvassed homeowners along Putnam Road where her body was found, but the nearest home was 450 feet away, and the road was not well traveled. Captain Herrick told us that none of the neighbors back in 1988 heard or saw anything suspicious. So Pam went missing from downtown Saratoga Springs, which is under the jurisdiction of the Saratoga Springs Police Department, and they did take the initial missing person report. But when Pam's body was found in Northumberland, 10 miles from the city of Saratoga Springs, the murder investigation fell under the jurisdiction of the Saratoga County Sheriff's Department. When we spoke with Saratoga Springs Police Sergeant Christopher Callahan for an APB cold case episode about Sheila Shepherd, another young woman found murdered in Saratoga County, we asked if there were any similarities to Pam's case.
Only similarity was that she was last seen also in downtown Saratoga Springs in that the same bar district. Last seen walking from the bar, body is found out in kind of a suburb of Saratoga. It's more of a rural, almost like farmland area. Her death, her murder scene was very violent. So we did sit down with our sheriff's department, is the one who has that case, because it occurred outside of the city where she's found, and the murder scene is outside of the city. We did sit down with their cold case detective who had that case, compare notes, compare case files. And other than the fact that they're both young, you know, young women and last seen in the downtown area, that's about where the similarities end.
So authorities don't have a connection between Sheila Shepherd, found murdered inside her apartment in 1980, and Pam DeVizio, found along a road in 1988. Now, let's talk a little more about the area where Pam's body was found. Does the remote location suggest that the killer might have a connection or knowledge of the neighborhood?
Correct. I would assume that. I grew up probably, you know, 2 miles from where this happened. And in the town back then, there was nothing. I mean, there really was nothing going on. There was no, the county has changed dramatically and over the years. And so I believe that it was somebody that was probably familiar with the area. In the area around there.
The ditch on Putnam Road where Pam's body was discovered is not far from an apartment where she once lived with her ex-boyfriend.
Yeah, if you pull that road, the Putnam Road, up on the map, so you come in from Route 50, the road goes straight, and then there's a sharp corner that turns to the left. And if you follow that around, there's a now golf course there, but there's a couple apartment buildings just down from the sharp corner, and that's where she previously lived.
We asked if any of the current or former tenants of Pam's apartment were interviewed in the investigation.
There were definitely somebody that was living in that apartment complex at the time that was interviewed, and another associate of hers that was interviewed that was no longer living in there as well.
I also asked police whether any current or former boyfriends were questioned.
At the time, she didn't have a boyfriend. She just got out of a long-term relationship. I'm really not going to comment too much further on that.
After an intensive investigation that included several interviews, evidence collection, and an autopsy, detectives just didn't have enough information to identify a suspect, and the case went cold. But throughout the years, they've revisited the case, hoping that someone will share new information or remember something that will help move the investigation forward. They also hope that modern forensics can help them in unraveling the mystery of Pam's murder. A procedure that Captain Herrick's about to tell you about is called MVEC. It's a sterile vacuum that draws up and filters DNA particles from items of evidence. They use this technology on the evidence in Pam's case.
John has done a lot of work with probably a year and a half ago or so. We went and he had used some of the MVEC examinations, and we did all of Pam's clothing and significant items that were found there, trying to generate new leads with new science that has evolved. There are some very critical pieces of evidence that we do have, and we're just, I don't know if we're at the point where we want to discuss too much of what we have, but some of the new science has given us some leads that we may have never had in the past.
We asked if that examination generated a DNA profile.
I would say we have a DNA lead.
Yes.
Is the best way I would probably describe that.
Police are not saying whether this lead is pointing them to a suspect, but they did say it's helped in ruling out some persons of interest.
We have something that it wouldn't have been known about 15 years ago. You know, so that is the part that's extremely exciting. Almost yearly, science is taking another leap. Hopefully that might help us in the future as well.
One of the obstacles in the case is the timing of the murder, which occurred just after the 4th of July, when there's a massive influx of tourists in and around Saratoga Springs. The summer months draw visitors to local attractions like the Natural Springs, the Saratoga Battlefield, and the famous horse racing track.
Some of the difficulty is number of people. You know, it is a time of the year in Saratoga. I don't know how familiar you are with Saratoga, but at that point in time, the track was not running yet. I think the track only ran in August back in 88 back then, but they were starting the summer buildup for the racetrack. So that's one of the other difficulties with the case as well. There's a lot of seasonal people that would have been starting to come into the Saratoga County area.
So could the suspect be a seasonal worker? Or is it someone she already knew, or who knew her? Police are not committing to any single theory at this point. All options are on the table. Like so many cold cases, detectives admit that every year that passes, the challenge of solving a case increases. But they're hopeful that one benefit to the passage of time is the evolution of DNA science, which might now give them the extra information they need. But they're always interested in speaking with anyone who has information about Pam and her last movements on July 5th, 1988.
I mean, at this point, July is going to be 36 years since this crime occurred. You know, our fear is that people involved may have died off and are currently not around anymore. I think what we need is anyone that has any type of information to come forward and help put this to rest for her family. Like I said, 36 years, the technology is improving in our favor, but we didn't have cell phones back then. We didn't have security cameras. It's pretty much a boots on the ground type of investigation. And there's still people that, you know, are going to be interviewed and talked to. But I think if anyone in the general public has information, come forward and speak with us, please.
Pam's sister provided us with a statement. She said, "The fact that Pam was brutally murdered 36 years ago has outraged her family and friends, and they deserve justice, answers, and closure for her horrific murder. They're appealing to the public, and particularly anyone who may have information that can help detectives. The question of who killed Pam DeVizio continues to this day, but she hasn't been forgotten by everyone who loved her, or by detectives who are more hopeful than ever for a resolution to her case."
There was some strong suspicion with some leads, even when I got the case. And then since then, you know, information was gained to disprove those. Definitely think it's solvable. You know, DNA technology is advancing pretty much, you know, yearly at this point. So I think there's always hope.
I say we're light years ahead of where we started from back then in, you know, 1988. I feel strongly that this can be solved.
If you have any information about the murder of Pam DeVizio in July of 1988, call the Saratoga County Sheriff's Office at 518-885-6761. And check out our show notes, including photos, maps, and timeline at apbcoldcase.com.
Thanks for listening to APB Cold Case. Tell us about your cold case at apbcoldcase@spawngroup.com. APB Cold Case is an original Spawn Group production.